Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your man, L Wonder, and I just want to give you a brief introduction into what you are about to listen to. What you're about to hear is our very first, not our very first episode, but what I'm going to set and establish as our very first episode. We've done it a couple of times. We got a good feel for it, but this one is when we really start getting into the meat and potatoes of what we wanted to get to talk about. You're about to hear a conversation between myself, L Wonder, Lamar Jordan, Mr. Jordan, Mr. L, whatever you know me as, Lamar. But on this, you wouldn't get to learn to know me as L Wonder. But you're about to hear a conversation between me and my best friend, Keith Fagan, Mr. K. And we are talking about focusing on the family. Now, among the two of us, we got over 30 years of being a husband. Between the two of us, we have I can't even imagine how many years of being a father. We've spent a lifetime. We've been friends for 20 plus years. We have over a lifetime of youth mentoring, youth leadership, youth development between the two of us. So we're good friends. So what you are about to hear is our introduction into a three-part series that we like to call Focus on the Family. So I just want you to sit back and enjoy. And like I said, this is taking place at right after the 2020 presidential election, where President Joe Biden and now President and Vice President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris has taken office, but this was when they got elected. So we're about to start with, to keep in mind that at the time of this, there's a lot of racial tension that's already been stewing. So the conversation starts off with all the racial stuff that's coming out now in the country. And we start talking about how, and Keith talks about an instance where he had to explain certain things to his daughter when it came to racism. So go ahead, sit back, relax. If you're driving, go ahead, chill out. I mean, make sure you stay focused on the road, but whatever you do, go ahead and enjoy our first our introductory podcast. This is L Wonder Why with L Wonder and featuring my best friend Keith Fagan, Mr. K, and this is our discussion on focusing on the family. Enjoy.
I had an interesting story about that because my oldest daughter graduated in, I think she graduated in 16. Mm-hmm. I want to say she graduated in 2016, and I remember her coming home from school, and she was really, really upset. And she was going to school half a day in Chagrin Falls, and she had came home and was like that some kids was calling her the N-word at school, and it was determined to, like, it was like a mob of kids, like, they had once he was the Republican candidate, this happened, like, it happened around then. Mm. And she was so upset because, and even some people she thought that she was okay with, and she was around a lot of kids who were Caucasian, and they were calling her this stuff. She was really disturbing. She had never heard you know, white kids saying those type of things to her, and she was like, she realized for the first time in her life she was black, really.
Wow.
Like, she knew she was, but you know what I'm saying, she thought that everybody was, she just thought, I don't know, she just thought the country was different. She just thought that white people and black people were at the point where they could get along, and when it was teenagers saying it to her, she was really upset and hurt about it. Because she's always had white friends. And so she, I guess, it just even changed the people that.
And that's the crazy thing about that. That's so true. That's messed up. That's messed up. And you know what? And for a while we did, and I'll be honest, for a long time, I felt like we have gotten so far beyond what I saw in history books, or I saw what, and when we would talk about Black history, when we talk about the civil rights movement, and it felt like for a long time that we've gotten so far from it. And then you would hear these sporadic racist stories, or you would hear these sporadic stories of racism happening, but it was still kind of far and beyond. I mean, yeah, you knew certain things were still happening when it comes to racist acts, whether it's in the job or whatever the case may be, but it seemed like we've came along a lot further. But these last, what, I won't even say 4 years, I'll say 6 years, 5 to 6 years, it just seemed like it set us back. So like it reminded us, oh no, it ain't went nowhere. It was just covered up real good, or it was still taboo. It just made them know when to show it and when not to show it. So I think that I agree. What I like about the whole situation, even regardless of what side you on, I respect what Joe Biden is doing and saying, because he's like, he understands that he got some work that he got to deal with. Like, it ain't gonna be an easy road with his presidency. Like, I'm glad that he feel like, you know, the thing we need to do is try to work on getting this country back together. Because we very divided. Like, we're very divided. And the kids talk about me all the time, because I always say, well, the Bible say, and they always talk about me when I say that. But just like it says, the house divided ain't gonna stand. So I don't understand how we plan on moving forward or standing or being a strong country if we divide it. Because I know I've been in times where, you know, when we was a misunderstanding in a household, which it kind of leads into focusing on a family, because there's a mentality that we have to have in a household and on as far as on a job or whatever the case may be, as a collective group, whatever our situation may be, well, we got to be united on some type of front. And I think that's a really good segue, kind of talking about that. The focus on the family. Like, I think we got to understand, my first question when I think about the family is, how important is it for a household to be on one page? How important is it for a household to be understanding in the same avenue or in the same situation? Do you think about the strength behind one power, one united front as far as a household?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, yeah.
To be on the same page, whew, I don't know. It's hard nowadays to see what causes. I mean, because there's so many different makeups of households that it's hard to. To be on the same page. Because the only reason I'm saying that is because I don't even know sometimes if my house is even on the same page. And I don't know. Because there's a lot of dynamics.
This is why I say that, because I wouldn't say on the same page, but I say as far as moving in the right direction. Like this, I'll say this. Okay. Like, for instance, if you know Thanksgiving dinners and you know that you're about to cook something specifically for Thanksgiving, if you know what this is the menu, okay, we're going to have this, we're going to have turkey, we're going to have macaroni and cheese, we're going to have greens, we're going to have sweet potato pie. If that's the menu and somebody come out of left field and say, okay, cool, this is what we're going to do. This is what I want to bring. They try to go in a whole different way and say, we go get ham. Okay, when you putting ham on or something like that. So if you're going in the same direction, I'm not saying you got to be always on the same page, but if you're going in the same direction, or if you have a common goal and everybody is moving with that common goal, that's what I'm referring to as being on the same page. I think that's what in a household, like parents, if you say, and I'm not saying that there's not going to be disagreements, but I'm saying at least moving in the same direction, at least going in the same flow with each other. That's what I'm referring to as far as the value or the importance in that, because I think that too many times, just like with the nation, and I understand we got some differences or different ideas or different concepts, but ultimately the goal is in the same direction. That's what I was asking about. Like, what do you, I think there's a value within that itself, because if you heading in one direction, but, and I'm heading the next direction, we can pull each other apart, which is where I think that concept of a house divided won't stand. Because we pulling it and tearing it from the seams, we're so divisive. So that's what I think when it comes to focusing on the family, I think we really, a lot of household, we do need to start focusing on the greater benefit of the household and not just our own agenda or our own mentality or what it is that we just want.
Yeah, well.
So in saying that,
you just got me thinking. I just think of my own family dynamic, like, and I'm listening to you talk, and I'm just trying to apply it, like I'm really, really like trying to see, like, is my family on the same page with me, or are we on the same? But I guess we are. You know, for the longest time, it was always about. Because see, like I had, when I first got married, you know, and we had a routine by then, you know, it was just the three of us. Mm-hmm. We had established a routine about what we did every day, what we did every night. You know, dinner had to be dinner ready by a certain time every day. I had to work with homework at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Every night the girls were taking baths. Like I had a whole mm-hmm. routine. And then when I got married, it was totally different, because you know what the assumption was about what even the basic points of everyday life changed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you constantly have to like reinvent yourself and reinvent the house, you know.
I think that's like, good. I think
every month it seems like.
But I think that's realistic view. I can agree with that. I can definitely see how, and that's what I'm, that's good. That's a good point that you just made, because I'll be honest, after Sharia had passed away, my house was, I mean, I think I did a pretty good job, but I know that the structure and the organization went away when she passed away. And I like I said, I did pretty good. I knew that the kids had to eat. So I did pretty good at making sure that they ate every day, at least during, because school took care of breakfast and lunch for the most parts, and I made sure I had stuff in the house on the weekends for breakfast and lunch, but I did make sure they had dinner every day. But it wasn't as structured or organized like you were saying. Like, I had some structure, I had some organization. I knew that they had to, okay, I'm like, okay, make sure everybody's taking baths. I make sure that hair is done. I make sure that food, that I got at least a plan for dinner every day. And that's where I started. That's what it helped me to start preparing along the line and start, okay, this is what I'm going to make this day. And just like you said, and y'all, you know how big of a help y'all were to me. I'm sitting there like, I got to cook full course meals like Sharia was doing. And you're like, well, L, you know, some days you can do this, or some days you can have easy dinners, or some days you can have this or that. And it kind of helped me. But yeah, when Sharia passed away, I felt like, you know, a lot of the structure, a lot of the organization went out the window, which kind of leads to a really strong point, because when Amanda came around, she brought something that I didn't have, and she brought a structure or some organization that I didn't carry. Now, I could do a lot of stuff, and I think I stood in my role.
Real strong.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Princess says, not everything will always be how we set it out to be, but having a desire to do the work and adjust where needed as a team. Team is the key, so.
And I think that's what it is. That's what I think is important, is the teamwork. So part of a team, and I think focusing on the family, and I agree with that, Francis. Part of a team, we gotta, I think, and I function, I read Sun Tzu's Art of War, and I apply that to a lot of what I do, whether it's personal, whether it's professional, whether, and I think that even his, a lot of his concepts apply to the household. And it talks about positioning. It talks about how, as a part of a team, how everyone needs to know each other's positioning, and everyone needs to understand what everybody else is expected. Because if I know what you're gonna do, it's like just like with with basketball or football or any other sport. If I know what my role is and I know what your role is, then we can function better, because then I go ahead.
Oh, you asked me something?
No,
Well,
I was just saying. No,
no,
I thought you was about to say something.
I am, but I'm waiting.
Okay, but no, that's all. I think that's what point I think she opens up is about knowing roles, knowing each other. Not, and I know that's a stigmatism with when it comes to saying, "Oh, this is your role, this is my role." But I think honestly, I think as a household, as part of the team, we need to know each other's role. We need to know our own role or expectations. What do you expect of me?
Well, I think that the whole point about roles is something that was probably established way before me and you ever came into the world. But the way what is defined today in 2020 is that I don't think there is a defined roles because people come from different backgrounds and people have different abilities. And so there can't be a defined role anymore. I
Oh,
think
like
that
saying
is
husbands take out the trash or women wash dishes. Yeah, I'm not saying that, but that's
well,
what.
just in general, because everybody has to be flexible. I don't think that in households you can have a defined role as being a mom or being a dad or being a daughter or being a son, you know what I'm saying, or being a husband or being a wife. Like you can have defined roles based on that, but the roles constantly change. Just like you said, after Sharia passed away, you had to become something else. You had to reinvent yourself. And I've known you when you got married, you know what I'm saying? And I know what you were doing and what you were not doing. And so now once she passed away, you posting pictures and stuff about cooking and all this type of stuff. And I don't think that I ever remembered you cooking. I mean, I could be wrong. But I don't think that I ever remembered you cooking while Sharia, you and Sharia worked
No,
together.
that's true.
Frances says everyone has an essence of themselves that they bring to the table because she says she works two jobs. She doesn't foresee herself cooking most days, so I need a man who enjoys cooking.
Okay.
And she says that women are home all day, like back in the 20s. I'm trying to bring this bread to the table too, boo. All
I
right.
understand that. I get
And,
that. That's a really good point.
but that's what I'm talking about. Like, when we to be on the same page, we gotta be flexible. You know what I'm saying?
That's
Like
true.
I was doing all the cooking and washing clothes and cleaning, and I was doing all this stuff way before. Like when it was just me and the girls, I was just doing it. You know what I'm saying? So I did I we kind of did me and you kind of did these things in reverse. You know what I'm saying? Where you started doing it the second time around, and I was doing, you know what I'm saying, and I was doing it the first time around.
That's true.
I
But
mean, I tell my sons that they have to come out here and learn as much as they can and become very, very flexible
I
when they
agree.
step out into the world because there is no role anymore. It should, it's nice, but it's not realistic.
That's like my it's funny because me and Amanda had a conversation the other day. Well, actually, we had a conversation a while ago, right before LJ graduated. And I was talking, no, it started because I was talking to Shamar. So Amanda said, "Hey, look, no, LJ said, I don't know what y'all gonna do when I leave because I take out the trash." And I said, "I do." I said, "I'm gonna teach my daughter." I said, "I'm gonna teach Shamar." She said, "I feel like," Tasha said, "I feel like there's nothing wrong with the general understanding of roles, but it shouldn't be something final or permanent." That's where the cross training comes in. And I agree. Because I try to. That's what the point of my story, what I was about to say. So I started teaching Shamar. I said, "Okay, well, Shamar, let me show you how to start taking out the trash. Let me show you what it goes. I mean, what happens?" And she was like, "Amanda, like, you go teach her how to take. She go start taking out the trash." I said, "Yeah, I gotta do that." And it's not trying to be funny, but the problem, my whole qu the problem is, I need Shamar to be ready. Now, I need Shamar to be ready when she move out. I need Shamar to understand that regardless, as much as I want you to be married and I want you to have a foundation when it comes to husband and wives, I don't want you to anticipate that this is what's going to happen to you. I want you to be ready if it does not. And I think that's part of our roles as parents. And that's why I say that, because part of our roles as parents is to prepare our children. It's just part of our role is just preparing our children. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I'm responding to Francie, and but I'm gonna tell you because I have videos and I have pictures of my daughters out raking leaves and using leaf blowers, and. I have videos of them doing that, and I have videos of, you know what I'm saying, of my sons cooking. And I remember, I remember even having a conversation with Camilla about, like, I didn't necessarily have the girls take the trash out over time, and you know. And for me, I guess my whole teaching process came from I initially would teach everybody to do everything, but as my daughters got older and my sons got older, I started trying to train my sons to take care of the women in the house. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like once they got to be a certain age, I tried to make it to where they became the protectors and they started doing certain things out of initiative. And it's not that I don't believe that the women in my house should not be doing things. It's just that I want the I think that a lot of times young men are given, they're not raised to be as responsible
I agree.
as young women are. And so people tend to wink a lot about them being irresponsible, but women, but girls are always taught to be responsible. They are. So like for me, and it really, and I posted something yesterday, and I was surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised, but I have been surprised over the recent year that my daughters cook the way that they do. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't intentionally teaching them how to cook because I was saying that they're girls and they need to learn how to cook in their home. I was teaching them how to cook because it's a skill. You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
And so I just figured I was just doing something for me. But now between the two of them, and I mean both of them, Both of them are really, really, really good at it. And like Casey, I'm sorry, I got a pit bull. But even time, I had little Keith outside with me, and I taught him how to repair a tire. You know what I'm saying? And these skills, being flexible for all of them, is going to give them the opportunity to be have a role that's flexible as they get adults in relationships.
And I agree. I think you know what? I think just like with what Amanda was saying when it came to me teaching Shamar how to take out the trash and all the other stuff, and then even
What
with
is that? You got an eagle in your
it's the
backyard?
bird. I'm trying to. I'm about to pull out my BB gun, but no, I'm not gonna say that online because I'm not gonna pull out my BB gun. But we got to figure out. It's two. I don't know what. I don't. I'm not a bird expert or whatever. But it's two birds that's. I think they flirting with each other, chasing each other back and forth up there in the trees. But anyway, I'm not gonna get distracted. Anyway, but I agree with exactly what you said. I think it's good to open the door, at least teach them in anticipation that you might have to take care of this yourself. Because just like you said, you know, I was never a cook. I can do basic stuff. I can fry chicken. I know how to fry chicken. I can cook rice without burning it. I mean, I know basic stuff. I knew, and I've always known these things. But it wasn't until I really had to get in the kitchen and start doing stuff that I started realizing, you know, I kind of like some of the stuff that comes with cooking. I kind of like it a little bit. Like I'm not gonna try to be chef. I'm not gonna try to be a chef and be on TV or nothing like that. But you know, I know how to survive first off. But even with surviving, I know, okay, I can easily pick up skills to make sure it's taken care of by me and to take care of me and my household, which I think is very important in what you said, even when it came to your daughters and picking up certain responsibilities and your son picking up responsibilities. I think what you were saying that stood out, and I got my brother AP. AP, if you got any things you wanted to say or chime in on this, just let me know. I'm on Facebook Live, you see, but let me know. But I think that when we do that, the natural part of us picks up the things that we're supposed to be doing, such as just like you said, protectors. Like I think that it's naturally given for us as men to protect. I'm not taking nothing away from women because I know that women can protect as well as anybody else, but I'm just saying it comes natural for us in our households to be protectors. Just like, and I had a couple conversations with a lot of different people, and women are naturally inclined to be more nurturers than anything else. It's a lot of stuff going on out here. It's the helicopters. Hold up. But it's more, women are more naturally inclined to. So I'm not even talking about. What's up with you, bro? What's up with you? I'm not even talking about the detailed stuff like cooking and taking out trash and stuff like that. Okay, that's cool. Amanda in there. But I'm not even talking about the taking out trash, cooking and stuff like that, the specifics like that. I'm talking more of what characteristics do you naturally pick up? Like, just like you said, like protecting, or like doing a hard labor as far as, and I know I've seen the girls, you've seen a video, you should have videos and everything with the girls shoveling and stuff like that. But just like you said, it became more natural for the boys to pick those things up. It became more fluent for them to pick up those things. It became more, just like Tasha said, for just like Amanda, when she came in the house or when Sharia was here, it became more fluent for them to clean. Well, not clean, I'm not saying, no, let me. I'm not, but it came more fluent for them to take care of the household. What's up? But take care of the household more. And that's where I think with us being teams, it kind of intertwined with each other because I became more dependent or more secure in knowing that you got this part handled when you became more trusting that I had this other part handled. So I think that's what I'm go ahead.
Well, you know, I grew up, I think I grew up initially I grew up in what was considered to be a traditional household. I didn't grow up in a. I'm not gonna go too further into that, but it initially it was traditional, meaning that my mother was, when I was younger, my mother was, she was the housewife. I didn't know, my mother didn't do a lot of cooking like I thought she did when I was a kid. She, my mother, like I grew up eating, my mother was good at making like instant food. And she was really good at it. You know what I'm saying? And so people see me cooking now today, and they think I have like this real eclectic eating, these real eclectic eating habits. Tasha says that with nurturing comes protecting, and it depends on the household because the terms are built differently.
I
And
definitely I agree with that.
that's what I was getting at. Like my mother, she did what she had to do based on how the household was set up at the time. But you know, my mother is just based on where she at in her life now, she's different. She's more her natural element. You know what I'm saying? So when you got when so you when you got the kids are little, you have to have a certain type of role or whatever. But I but you know, when I talk about my daughters, when I really focus on them too, it's like with the whole protecting part of it. Like I had a conversation with my oldest daughter. Well, I don't know why I'm saying oldest daughter. You know who my kids are. I had a conversation with her a while ago, and she every time she would come over to my house, her mirror on her car was cracked, and I would say, okay, well you need to bring that car over here so that I can fix the mirror, you know, and so and she was like, okay, and I mean she just would not do it, like. You know what I'm saying? And then she had got to the point where she would say, okay, well, I bought the mirror, and she would say, you know, this person was gonna fix it, and all these people was gonna fix it, and this, and that. And I said, well, Celeste, you need to bring the car to me, leave it here for a day. You can take my car, or I can take you where you need to go, and I'm fix it. And she would go till eventually one day, till eventually one day. She left the car with me, you know what I'm saying? And I told and I she left the car with me, and then when the car was ready, I told her, here, I fixed it, you know what I'm saying? And she had the same situation where her window wouldn't roll down, or it was kind of slipping and sliding. I said, well, I need to get your window fixed before it get cold outside. She like, okay, you know, and I'm working, so I'm go ahead and do it. But my whole point is that even with me, I establish roles with my daughters in a way that I'm establishing role for them based on what their expectations
I just
should
put my
be.
hair on.
Concerning the men that they're going to be dealing with as the years to come, and that what you're going to need is for somebody that's constantly trying to help you, to try to help you get to where you need to be, try to help you be better. And as men and as young men,
That's true.
we need to be in the lives of we need to be in the lives of women
I
to
agree.
help them. You know what I'm
I agree.
saying? Like to define your role is not for them necessarily to hold your hand all the time. It's for you to be able to display your worth, you know what I'm saying? That you bring something to the table, and bringing something to the table means that there are certain things that your family should not have to worry about as long as you're involved. And
That's
it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in the household, but you got to be part of the process. And I believe that men and young men need to learn to be part of the process.
Yeah.
With their family. You need to be willing to do whatever you need to do to make sure your family is good.
And I agree with that, because I think that that's where the problem is starting to lie in, is because more men are dropping the ball as far as showing some type of worth in a relationship. And it's kind of like, and I hate to say it like this, but do you remember when we was at when we went to the one church where so many of the guys stepped out of the process in the church, that the women, and nothing wrong with it, but the women felt like because the guys are not stepping up and doing this thing, we have to uphold it, and we got to pick up they part as well, and we have to start functioning like they supposed to be doing. And they do it, and it happens in the home so many times. It happens in the home a lot of times.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Okay, he said
Well,
he's gonna play devil's advocate. Okay, I got you. So, but he said, but they the guys, and there are instances where, and we've seen it in this place because they got so custom to run things that they started pushing out any males who tried to come in and be a foundational piece. So we've seen
hey,
that.
hold on a second. Tasha said that's very rare. Tasha, if you still, the more they drop the ball, the more we figure out how to handle it. Okay, finish what you're gonna say. I finish what you're saying because I okay. If that's what she was saying, because I agree with that.
It does. It happens a lot of times. And I'm not knocking. So there are instances, I'm not there are instances where we have women pushing away guys, and we guys will touch on that too. Extreme feminism. But there are instances, I think most many times what we have is we have males who, just like she said, drop the ball or don't play the role that they need to in a household. So what they tend to do is and I've watched it, I've seen it, what the women tend to do. Okay, I can't stop my production because you ain't here doing your part. So now I gotta pick up mine. But wait, women can't hold a child over your head. Oh, see, he bringing up Q bringing up the same point that I think that my brother was about to bring up, which is, women not being able to hold the child. And then we about to get into some real. Okay.
The men have dropped the ball. Who's to say that they were even able to hold it from the beginning, or
That's
who
true.
even
That's
had it?
and that's what Keith was talking about before. Now, what my brother just said, he said we say that men dropped the ball, but who's to say that the men was even able to hold the ball? Which, just like Keith was saying, that's where it comes to teaching in a household. So I believe when I
But
say
how can you teach a
roles,
household when there's no man to teach?
true, there's no man, and that's what happens when we have, I think, and that's where I think that our household, that's why I say standing up and being able to step up roles. Now, the only thing about it is we got to be able to take one conversation at a time when it comes to this, because there's a lot that is going to go into. There's a lot that is going to be able to go into. You do have, and I agree, Tasha, you are absolutely right. There is a woman, when the women say that they don't have anybody there to step up and do their part, then the women will pick up that ball and hold it down as much as they possibly can. At the same
But
sense,
that's
go ahead.
but that's what they're used to doing.
That's what they
I
used to
mean,
doing.
in other words, how do you change a coach? How do you change a culture that has been cultivated over a long period of time, and where you have an entire generation of women
That's true.
that are experiencing the same thing over and over again, and then they're not even expecting, or
Yes.
they don't have the type of expectancy, and the men don't have the type of expectancy, and that we have gotten so far away from it that there is no established expectancy
That's
either.
true. That and
So
that I think
they
that's kind of
come
what
in,
comes
they
with
come.
that, but that comes with being raised in an environment that you are taught to not have expectations.
And he said that it does have a part to play in your how your environment. I think that's where, like with Keith, I mean, I'm be honest, Keith, I've said this a long time, and I've told people this many times. Even though I have a father, and my father held it down
I've learned the foundation of what I learned about actually being in the midst and being a father from watching you. And I say that, and I don't hesitate to say it. I say it all the time because I watched you and how you were with Icy. And this is when Icy was first born. I watched you and when she was first born and how you brought her up to the skating ring and the time and the development that you had with her, even when she had that bouncy court and going from the dining room to the living room, and how you spent time, you were skating with her. You had her on the front pack with which you was skating with her. You had the bond that y'all had. You know how you had. I remember when you had her tossing the little football. So the mentality that you had when it came to being a father and an engagement, like I said, that's what taught me. And that's what now, when my son was born, when LJ was born, now I've watched you raise with two daughters at that point. But when my son was born, that's when I'm like, okay, I'm about to give him everything I possibly can and teach him. And I know I can't tell him, I don't know what direction he's going to go in, especially when he's first born. But at the same time, I watched you be involved and be engaged and showed them what you felt was a father. And that's the whole thing. It's not a and I agree with what Tosh was saying before. It's not meant for us to have a perfect square. This is what you do. This is what I do. This is what you do. This is what I do. But whatever the formula is in a household, y'all just got to figure that out and rock together with that formula. And I think just like AP was saying, I think the sad part is, most of us did not have that foundation. Or if we did have that foundation, we had to go to places like the Salvation Army, or we had to go to places that can help us, or even uncles or something like that. But what happens when people don't have that? What happens when people don't have a father figure or even a mother figure? Like, what's up with you? How you doing? It's like, how do you, what's up? I'm gonna lie. Huh? Oh, yeah, I'm gonna lie. I'm gonna lie. It's all good. It's all good. What's up with you?
Hey.
But it's like, what do you do when people, when, so that, what you just, like you said, I think it starts from at this point. Like, you can't, like, I'm like Q, for real. Q did a lot in the neighborhood to help people who didn't have those foundations, to help people. Like, Q was, I'm pretty sure, you asked a lot of people who came through Huff, Q, they would tell you, you know, Q was like a father figure to me. Q was like that because Q, he was, even though I always call him the mayor of Huff, you know, that's what he did. He took those people who didn't have people to stand up for him or had a back or to teach them how to do this. And he taught us through Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts how to do these things, how to start a fire, how to, you know, what happens if you hurt yourself, what happens, how to clean yourself, I mean, how to clean a Band-Aid. I remember when I was working there, he had a handful of guys even painting the sign. So he was teaching them how to paint. And he had to actually show them. No, you just can't just do it like this. This is how you got to do it. So I think it's, what can we do? We can't save the world, but at the same time, just like my brother said, he said, each one reach one. You just got to take the time where you're at. And when one come across you, and you've done the same thing. I watched you do that same thing at the Salvation Army. How you've taught girls how to play football. And that surprised the mess out of me, but I watched you take a
shout
whole
out.
Football team.
Shout out to my girl football players.
Exactly. You took a whole football team full of girls, took them around. Not just girls, but you had some males in there too, but majority females around the state of Ohio destroying people. And I'm not talking about beating them 21-14. I'm talking about destroying people, like 54 to zip, like just destroying. So she said, okay, if you don't, hold on, let me catch back up. But I mean, that's what I wanted.
You read the comments.
Go ahead.
You read the comments, and I take in while you're reading it. Uh-huh. So because Quentin and Tasha brought up a couple of points while you were talking, and what Quentin is talking about is that a lot of kids are falling by the wayside with relationships with fathers, but it's not the father's fault. And the presumption all the time is that when a father is not around, that is his fault and not the mother's fault. And that, I mean, that's loaded because
it is
because that's loaded because the assumption is almost always that it's the father that does not want to be a part, and that is not always the case. Mm-hmm. There, you're dealing with imperfect people, human beings who have issues. Internal issues or issues from their past, and they come together and they make a child, and then they try to figure out how to raise this child the same. And then you have people who barely know each other, who mm-hmm. have kids, and you know, they don't really know each other, and now they're raising a child. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of complexity that goes along with bringing a child into the world. And Tasha says something that I can definitely relate to, is that the stuff that you're talking about with me working with young people, I started working with young people. I think the first time that I really, really saw people, Quinn said he needed to do some video. He's not good at typing.
Yeah, he got to get in. We definitely got to get in on this.
Because I started, my very first interaction that came with a group of young people came in church. And I was just a teenager. I want to say I was about 15 or 16, maybe. And I was teaching the Sunday school class. I was teaching the little kids Sunday school class every day. I think that was my first interaction where I was in charge of some young people. And a lot of those kids as in the Sunday school class are my Facebook friends, crazy enough. We all mm-hmm. old stuff now. But
got their own kids and everything.
Right. And then from there, I was over at the youth department. I was over the youth department, but I was just like 17 or 18. And then from there, I ended up working at the Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with East Cleveland, young people in East Cleveland, when I was like 20, 21. And so a lot of these interactions I had with children were before I had kids. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't grow up with the necessary relationships. See, I grew up in a household with a stepfather, I wasn't raised by my father at all. And my stepfathers, they didn't have any type of relationship with me, like a mentoring relationship.
Yeah.
It was more of a situational relationship because they was married to my mother, and you know, about teaching me about, you know, about how to be and things like that. And so when it came time for me to be a father myself, I based being what I thought a father was based on my interaction with other young people who didn't have fathers. And based on what I wish my father would have done with me, or I wish that my stepfather had done with me. And I do everything. I literally do everything the opposite of what was done with me. That's true. So whatever I thought was missing, whatever I thought was what I was lacking, I try to be that for my own kids. Like that's so people will say, oh, well, Keith, you know, you being this type of father. I have the opportunity to be a bad father too, because my total strategy is I'm going to do the exact opposite. My dad didn't show up to anything. My stepdad didn't show up to anything. I show up to everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Like I didn't get it, you know, I didn't get the support on a lot of things that I wanted to do growing up. I support everything. I back everything. You know, I didn't get taught a certain thing. I teach all of that. That is mm-hmm. You know, that's what I got, man.
So, but you know what? So, okay. We definitely go stop this at an hour. And I know it's a lot going on. I know it's a lot, but that's why we go continue it on next week. We definitely got to continue it on next week because I think a lot of stuff has been said. I think a lot of stuff has been brought out. I think a lot of stuff has been touched on that it was necessary. I think Tosh brought up some very good points when she was talking about how her dad didn't have a father. And she brought, just like you said, you know, we all strive to do what we need to do because, especially when it comes to, because we didn't have, we want to make sure to give. My mother-in-law, she does the same. We had many conversations, but she said the same thing. Certain things that she did not receive from her mother is what made her be the type of mother that she is. My brother, he said the same thing. You know, the reason I watch him and his son and the way that he interacts with his son, the way that he spends time is because he didn't have that example when it came to his father. So I think those right there, just and Q, just like I said, I watch Q, you know, I'm not, we and him haven't went into detail about.
Yeah, shout out to Q.
Yeah, shout out, big time shout out.
Shout out to Q, man. Shout out to Q. He doesn't get enough credit for the work he's done over the years.
Oh yeah, he does. He definitely don't. He was at the Salvation Army when I was a little kid, and he helped me so many times. I always tell people, first time I got, and you know how deep I am in wrestling. First time I got to see wrestling match in Richfield Coliseum was through the Salvation Army because I remember him and him driving us out there. I went to Geauga Lake. I wasn't even supposed to be on the ballot to go. And, you know, he made sure that I went to Geauga Lake when I didn't have, you know. So shout out to Q. He definitely have made so much. We got to figure out to do the Zoom call but I want to be able, if I do, somebody holler at me if we can figure out how to put Zoom through Facebook. Cause I wouldn't mind doing a Zoom call, but I also want to make sure that we can get it out here so that people can reach out, because the reason why I want to do this is because I think we got a lot. It's starting to mess up. Okay, that means it's about to be time to get over here, but it's all good. But I just wanted to tell y'all, like, we go keep this up. We go shoot. We go move with this next week. Start the same conversation and just keep the comments going. Keep as you can. You can either or be and be complacent, or you can figure it out and keep it pushing. And that's what life is about. Keep it pushing and be better than what's missing. Kids that came from the Salvation Army, you've been there for them as somebody. Tasha, you keep on doing. Thank you. You go ahead, keep on hustling. Good thing too, and you know I'm so glad that my wife came for my kids' benefit to make sure that they're eating them healthy. But outside of that, this L Wonder, you want to say anything, Fagan?
No, I'm good, man. I see you next week.
And we're going to see you next week on the next episode of Wonder Why.
Congratulations on the promotion.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I've been at VA, just to FYI, I've been at VA for almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in January. And my whole thing is I've been promoted 3 times already. I start my next new position on Monday. I'm not bragging, but this is just the way that I'm going to tell you right now. I try to work hard. I just stay faithful, and I really pray a lot. And this is what God is doing. So it ain't about me. It ain't about nothing that I'm doing. I'm just thankful, and I'm just appreciative of the blessings that God has given me. So after that, you just do the same. And guess what? I'm so glad. Once again, thank you. Congratulations to President-elect Joe Biden. Congratulations to Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. And we're going to see you next week.